Hi everyone. Today we're talking about bullying, and I have the pleasure of interviewing Greg Schurer. In 2012, Greg founded Be Who You Want to Be International, which is a unique resource and educational institute for young people. His message is simple: be yourself, think different, and do whatever it takes to create the life that you love. Today, Greg teaches both young and old how to live this message and to discover the power inside of them that makes them the unique visionary and leader that they are. He believes that every person deserves to be appreciated for who they are, no matter what they do, what they look like, how they act, or where they come from. Hi, Greg. I'm very grateful and excited to have you here. Thank you for being here, by the way.
Hi. Thanks, Pedro. I mean, it's great to be here. It's an amazing opportunity. We've known each other for quite a while, so I'm grateful to be chatting to you about this.
Awesome. So, Greg, would you tell our members a little bit about you and your story, how the whole Be Who You Want to Be happened, this phenomenon, what has brought you up to this point?
Sure. Well, there's a couple of different pieces, so I'll try and bring them all together and be as short and brief about it as I can. For most of my childhood, I was bullied quite significantly. I had big ears. They used to kind of stick out a little bit more like this. I had them pinned back when I was 15. But for most of my childhood, I was bullied, at least in my perception. I thought it was because I had these big ears. And so I was very, very challenged by that experience throughout my childhood. And then when my family and I, we migrated to Australia, I had my ears pinned back, thinking that that would solve the problem, that that would...
By that you mean surgically pinned back?
Yeah, surgically pinned back. So
right.
I felt, we were starting fresh, this is all new school, new friends, everything. I'm going to get my ears pinned back, I'm going to be this new guy, everything's going to change.
Right.
And so I had my ears pinned back, and for probably for the first year that I was here, in school things seemed to go well. All of a sudden, girls were noticing me when they hadn't noticed me before. My confidence levels changed. A lot of things were different in that respect. But a year after that, which is probably year 11, I was getting bullied again and getting picked on, and I was ostracized by my whole year group because I didn't want to do something that they were all doing. So I was kind of standing against the crowd a bit, and I was kind of picked on by everybody. And I was confused. I was like, why is this happening? I don't have big ears anymore. What's going on? And I didn't quite understand it at that point. And it kind of resolved itself in school, then kind of occurred again back in university, and even in my career as a chiropractor, which is what I studied professionally before I started working in coaching. And I got to a point in my chiropractic career, I was close to around 30 years old, 29, 30 years old, and something just clicked inside of me, and I just felt I'm not fulfilling my potential. I felt like I had the ability to lead in some form or another in my life, but I didn't feel strong enough, I didn't feel confident enough, and I didn't believe in myself enough to actually go and do that. And around that time, I was reading three books actually. One was Richard Branson's Losing My Virginity, the other was Nelson Mandela's Long Walk to Freedom, and the other one was a book called The Breakthrough Experience by Dr. John DeMartini. And I was reading them all around the same period, and they were all really focused on empowerment and leadership potential and going against the grain and being different, and it's okay to be that way. And so I kind of started on a journey figuring out what I could do or working with, I guess not figuring out, but wanting to figure out what I could do around this issue of bullying that I'd had throughout my life and see if it actually had an impact in terms of where I'd got to and what I could do to change it. So I went on a journey from around 30 years old for about over this last 3 year period, basically just working through every aspect that I could think of around the bullying dynamic that I'd gone through growing up in my life. I looked at the over-support, the over-protection that I was getting. I looked at the various different bullies or perpetrators, I guess, in my life and what they represented. And I got to a point about almost two years ago, when I migrated to Canada with my wife at the time. 3 weeks after arriving, I came up with a vision for this company, for this business. Sorry about the light. I'm just going to move myself out of the light. And so what I decided to do as a result of that was to start working on a business model and I guess a mission to work through those same issues with other people who'd been through the same things that I'd been through growing up or currently going through those issues now, even as adults. And I realized a lot of the work that I did with my chiropractic patients when I was doing a lot of kinesiology work, a lot of them had those aspects in their history and in their kind of psychological profile. So I was attracting a lot of that into my chiropractic business on the mindset side of things. And when I started doing life coaching work, it was the same thing. Be Who You Want to Be really was born out of my own frustration with not being able to deal with that issue and feeling like the resources that are available for children, even adults going through this type of situation, unfortunately aren't as powerful and as transformative as they could be. And I was seeing that quite clearly all around me with all the different initiatives around that deal with bullying, both in the workplace and in social dynamics with kids. And so I just found there was a better way based on what I'd experienced that could help people break through that very, very quickly, but not to the point where bullying is all of a sudden eliminated from their lives, but to the point where they have a deeper appreciation for why it was there in the first place and what role it had to play and what role they had to play in attracting it into their lives, so that at the end of the day, they could feel inspired by that experience, grateful for that experience, and uncover their actual own human potential through that experience, which is what I discovered through my own research and my own process. And so Be Who You Want to Be is really a business that helps people do that.
Great.
Yeah.
That's a very nice, well, I guess it wasn't very pleasant at the time, but it is a nice story now of transformation. So I guess that has given you a special sensitivity around issues of bullying, and this is why we're interviewing you today. So I'm just really interested, in your opinion, what are the main ways that bullying can affect mental well-being for the person at the time they're experiencing the bullying? And of course, that time may not be just at the moment where the bullying is happening, but over a period of time after that.
Sure. There's a number of different things that can happen at the time. More recently, I'll get to that in one second. I've become acutely aware of the long-term impacts of bullying, more so than I ever have before, which is great because it isn't really spoken about in terms of how that's going to affect you later on in adult life and the implications of that. And I've seen living proof of that in my own experience of some of those patterns. But when I was younger, when I was going through that at the time, a lot of the time, I mean, there were times where I felt like I didn't want to be here. I felt suicidal at certain points, just incredibly overwhelming, confronting. I didn't feel like I had the resources to actually cope with the challenge that was coming my way. So, in other words, I felt ill-equipped to deal with that kind of situation. I landed up judging myself quite a lot and thinking that was something wrong with me. And so as a consequence, this is the reason why I pinned my ears back, is because I wanted to be like everybody else. So in a lot of ways, I stopped appreciating myself as myself. I disconnected from who I was. I didn't want to be this kid that stood out to the big ears or the big opinions or whatever else. So I lowered my self-worth. I introverted. I became quite shy and timid. Didn't express how I felt. So I was holding a lot of stuff inside, which later had quite a few implications in relationships with women. You name it. Like in every area of my life, as a consequence of what I went through when I was a kid and how I felt at that time, and all the beliefs that kind of got set up at the time, it's impacted almost every area of my life in terms of managing business and managing finances and learning how to be a leader and be okay to actually speak up for myself and stand my ground and hold a position and all those kinds of things, which I had a lot of trouble with when I was going through those issues. I just, a lot of the times I also felt very depressed. I was in a dark space quite often. And even though for me, I'm quite resilient, so I can deal with a lot before I crack. It was tough. I mean, I spent quite a few nice days, you know, hidden in my room, yeah. Didn't want to come out. There were times where I didn't want to go to school. You know, the very common things that happen to kids. Even people in the workforce who are dealing with those issues, they don't want to go to work. They're going to deal with that confrontation constantly, and they just don't know how to deal with it.
So talk to me a little bit about that confrontation. What do you mean by that term? Where's the confrontation? Is it in the bullying, the being bullied aspect of it, or is it more than that?
Well, there's actually a few layers to that. But in regards to the bullying aspect, one of the things that was missing for me when I was growing up was an equal balance, I guess, of support and challenge in my family dynamic. So I had one parent who was very overprotective and oversupportive, which usually precipitates bullying quite a lot. And I had another parent who was literally the opposite of that. So a more aggressive, more vocal, a bit colder, less involved, those kinds of things. And so in both parents, there was actually an imbalance. In both of them, they were both, one was being too supportive and the other one was being too challenging. And so I wasn't getting a clear idea of challenge and support from both sexes equally. So when I got into the school space and the school environment, all males were aggressive and angry in my perception, because that's what I'd been conditioned towards being at home. And all girls in my perception were supportive and caring and lovely and all that kind of stuff. So a lot of the people that I gravitated towards when I was a kid and even growing up as an adult were women, because in my mind they were like, oh, they're going to take care of me. I'm going to be okay. Everything's going to be good. And it was a huge problem for me growing up, because I didn't have a lot of guy friends, because in my mind I always thought they were the enemy and they always wanted to beat me up, or they were angry with me or they didn't like me. So I was constantly at school confronted with this dynamic that I just wasn't prepared for. I had no idea that men could be, or boys at that point, could be just as nice as they could be mean. And I had no idea that women could be just as mean to me as they could be nice. I've had to find that out through a lot of relationship failures.
How do you cope with that? I mean, because obviously the you were trying to communicate and have relationships with people, both at school and I imagine at work. How did you cope with that incongruence at the time? That was really confusing.
Well, at the time, I didn't even know this. See, that's the thing. I had no idea that this was going on. I just knew that I got on better with girls and that I had, I guess, concerns or trust issues around guys. So it's just what I was aware of at the time. I had no idea that this patterning was going on based on what was happening in my home life. And it kind of just extended out into the social dynamics because it wasn't being dealt with correctly at home. So I wasn't prepared enough going into the real world to deal with the balance of both support and challenge in men and women. It's hard to say. I mean, how did I cope? I guess because I was quite sensitive and I was able to connect with women or girls more easily, for some reason that helped through that experience. So I think that sensitivity has also allowed me to kind of have a deeper appreciation, a deeper sense of observation or sense of people, because I spend a lot of time around the female energy, which is all about perspective and looking outward in a different, looking inward but in an outward kind of way, in a big way. So that really kind of helped me reflect and kind of deal with things. Even though I wasn't actively and consciously doing it at the time, I think it kind of helped. My sister was also around at the time, so she kind of was like my protector at school. So that kind of helped me deal with it as best as I could. And as I moved through school and I started doing drama at the end of primary school, beginning of high school, that also helped me cope, because then I found another way to be myself without really feeling like I had to worry about anyone pulling me down, if that makes sense. I kind of could put myself in a different space where if people judged me or if they picked on me or anything like that, I wouldn't have known.
Right.
So
when you transitioned from school, from that environment into somewhere like the workplace, I mean, all of a sudden, did the dynamics change? Like, were you still looking for women to nurture you, to protect you, or all of a sudden, what happened?
That's a great question. I was wondering if you were going to ask me something about this, because I was thinking about it just before our call. One of the things that I teach people about challenge, which, you know, when I look at bullying, there are different versions of it and there's different extremes of it. But in essence, I see it as challenge. It's just different degrees of challenge coming at you in different form. And I've experienced varying degrees of that from different people in different ways. So, what I teach people is when they don't want to deal with bullying. So, like, for example, when parents want to take their kids out of a school because they don't want to handle the bullying and they put them in another school and everything seems to be okay, one of the things that I've learned about nature, about human behavior and just the way this world works, is that we can't get rid of anything. We can't just get rid of something because we don't like it. Because naturally what happens is, this is kind of a cruelty of nature, but also the beauty of nature. The more we try and eliminate something or avoid something or want to run away from it, the more it just comes back for us to deal with it. It's like we can't run away from our fears. We can't run away from our challenges.
Right.
So I hadn't really dealt with a lot of my bullying stuff when it came time to kind of getting into the workforce. I hadn't done any work on that yet. So all those patterns were still ingrained in my neurology and my psychology. So when I got into the workforce, the clinic that I worked for, the person who owned the clinic, was a very sensitive, had a very feminine energy about him in terms of the way he practiced and ran his clinic. Like, his clinic was more focused on dealing with emotions and mindset, very feminine-based type of healing work. So I was very much attracted to that. But at the same time, that person was also an incredibly strong male presence as well. And at the time, I felt very, very supported because I felt like this man who had this strong feminine connection was helping me and supporting me and like he was mentoring me. So I put him on a massive pedestal in my mind because he became like the female who takes care of me. And I hadn't learned yet that women disappoint me, or the feminine energy can disappoint and can let you down. And throughout the 5 years that I worked in that practice, I had to learn over that period of time that there was an imbalance there. I mean, I learned through working in my chiropractic career that there was some sort of imbalance going on in the way I dealt with human beings. I could see it in my workplace. It was having a huge impact on the way I practiced and the way I felt when I went into work, and I started developing resentments and all sorts of things like that, because all of a sudden I started getting challenged when initially I was supported, and I couldn't understand what was going on. So as a consequence of that,
the response to being challenged all of a sudden was resentment.
Yeah, well, it was resentment, and then all of a sudden, as a self-preservation tactic, I became increasingly narcissistic. So I needed to focus all on myself to protect myself, and that became a massive issue naturally in my career. When you become so narcissistically driven, it's all about me. It creates lots of tension and lots of problems. But it was a way that I needed, because I hadn't developed the adaptive mechanisms yet to deal with it and balance out the kind of challenge in my life and see the perspective, it was the only